Do you have behaviors and thoughts, patterns of behavior and ways of thought that keep cropping up in your life even though you don't want them? Rhetorical question, I see. The movie Groundhog Day deals with this most human persistent problem. The main character is Phil Connors, a weatherman and a real jerk. And I mean a real jerk. His life centers 100% around himself. In his arrogance, he seems to pride himself on super unkind, mean remarks to other people. The landlady at his bed and breakfast remarks, as he comes down for coffee, "We're supposed to have a blizzard." He pulls himself up to his full height and gives her about 1 minute of totally technical weatherman jargon and then sneers, "Did you want to talk about the weather or were you just indulging in idle chit-chat?" She says, "Idle chit-chat." For the fourth year in a row, he is assigned to go to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania to cover Groundhog Day, reporting whether the groundhog Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow or not. For Phil Connors, this is not exactly a prime assignment, and he does it with the worst grace possible. His producer, Rita, who is new to the station, loves the way everyone is having so much fun, and she thinks that Punxsutawney Phil is pretty cute. He ends up back in his room, and this is where his ordeal starts. At 6 a.m. the next morning, his clock radio alarm starts Sonny and Cher's "I've Got You, Babe," the theme song for the morning program. But the disc jockey pattern is exactly the same as yesterday. The cars outside are exactly the same. The people who speak to him are exactly the same. The day is the same. It is February 2nd. It hits him on the third night that he can do anything he wants, and he heads into a life of illegal, unethical, and unhealthy behavior. He learns information from women one day and seduces them with it the next. They don't know it's his umpteenth February 2nd. He tries to do that with Rita, but she's intuitive. And day after day after day ends with her slapping his face. About here, he is beginning to be pretty miserable. So he kills himself every way imaginable, including driving a truck off a cliff with Punxsutawney Phil in it. That's the worst part of the movie for me. And every day he wakes up alive, hearing the same radio program. One day he explains it all to Rita, and she believes him. They spend a nice, normal day together. That evening, as they lie together in friendly intimacy, he says in genuine sadness, "The worst part is that you won't remember tomorrow." She drifts off to sleep. He covers her up and he says to her in a quiet epiphany, "What I want to say is that you're the kindest, sweetest, prettiest person I've ever met. I've never met anyone who's kinder to people than you. I don't deserve anyone like you, but if I could, I swear I'd love you for the rest of my life." Then, of course, the radio program starts and Rita is gone. At this point, he has seen clearly a lot of really bad things about himself. He has seen them many, many times. He has been drawn into paying attention to the kindness around him. And he has allowed himself to feel love. He has also faced that he can never have love. And he decides that it is better to spend eternity being kind than hurting others. At a party one night, Rita buys him at a bachelor auction for $339.88. They have fun together, and they spend the night just talking. He says, "No matter what happens tomorrow or for the rest of my life, I'm happy now because I love you." And they drift off to sleep in each other's arms. 6 a.m., "I've got you, babe." And then, different words from the disc jockey. And then, Rita's still beside him. He jumps up, he looks out the window. The old familiar parked cars are gone. It's a new day, and Phil is redeemed. Groundhog Day is an amusing and good modern movie. It also embodies a concept common to all kinds of religions. There's the Hindu and Buddhist concept of karma, in which every single act we do has consequences for our next lifetime. We are doomed to repeat our mistakes until we somehow realize them and take steps. Wiccan and other pagan traditions teach that we have profound responsibility for our actions. I've heard it said that whatever we put forth will come back to us threefold, which is sort of like karma in spades. The Hebrew scriptures say, "He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing." And St. Paul in the Christian scriptures admonishes the people of Galatia in these familiar words, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap." Marie-Louise von Franz is a Jungian writer, a close student and colleague of Carl Jung. She speaks of the pure, unspoiled soul practices of the Naskapi Indians of the Labrador Peninsula in eastern Canada. Now, she wrote in the mid-60s, and terrible things have, surprise, happened to them since then. The Naskapi lived in isolated family groups, so they had no tribal rituals and customs to shape their spiritual growth. And so they viewed the soul as an inner companion called my friend, or Mistapeo, meaning great man. The Naskapi paid close attention to their dreams, an attention that brought them into closer connection with the Great One. Von Franz tells us, "Thus, the major obligation of an individual Naskapi is to follow the instructions given by his dreams and then to give permanent form to their contents in art. Lies and dishonesty drive the great man away from one's inner realm, whereas generosity and love of one's nature and animals," think Punxsutawney Phil there, "attract him and give him life." If Phil had followed the old Naskapi ways, he would not have had to go through so much to recognize that generosity and love are indeed, in and of themselves, more rewarding than lies and dishonesty. Most of us here today do not have very many rituals and customs we participate in to enlarge our souls and make us better people, although some do. None of us is likely to have our character defects starkly lived out as the same day repeats itself over and over and over in our lives. But we all still need, somehow, to move toward lives of more generosity and love. And we don't have to shrug and walk away from the work because we have repeated patterns for so long. It is true that some patterns are still lodged so deep in our unconscious that we need to seek therapeutic help, which is an honorable and constructive path to dealing with our shadows. And once again, I recommend the book Romancing the Shadow. But it's not all buried deep in our psyches. We can choose to be kind even if we don't particularly feel like it. Both Monty Python and Kurt Vonnegut, major 20th century prophets, admonish us to be kind. They are. Think about it. We can choose to assume the best of others' intentions. And how often do I see us doing otherwise? How about assuming that a cranky store clerk is having a bad day, so speaking kindly to him instead of huffing indignantly? We can choose not to speak gossip. We can choose to walk up to a stranger in church and make her welcome rather than taking the easy path of heading for our friends. We can also choose to follow a spiritual path, a discipline that may gradually open our heart. In fact, if we do not follow some kind of regular practice, we are highly unlikely to make the progress that poor Phil made during his purgatory of repeating days. If you're okay with Christian-centered words and deeds, Christian-oriented words and deeds in the best sense, you might want to try centering prayer. I know personally at least 5 people whose lives have been changed for the better by doing this practice. And I have a lot of websites listed at the end of the sermon, which is in the North Vestibule. Copies of it are. Now, maybe you're allergic to practices and words from the traditions most of us have emerged from. Maybe you're a frolicking pagan who wouldn't call yourself religious if you were being tortured to death. Maybe you're a happy atheist, jubilantly waving around books by Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris. Maybe you're an old-line humanist who just wishes that some people could cut back on loaded words and God talk. Maybe you feel like rolling your eyes when the word spiritual is mentioned. It doesn't matter. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter. Don't call it a spiritual practice. Don't even think of it as part of a traditional religion if you don't want to. Just do it. Attend a local sangha. That's in a website, too. Buddhists are non-theistic, but they are reverent. They practice ritual, and they understand the fundamental importance of disciplined observance. Find a training for Art of Living, which is a breathing meditation system taught by Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and it has, with other practices, changed my life personally. It requires no belief system. Memorize poetry. You could spend the rest of your life with Mary Oliver alone. And speak it from your heart as you sit still in openness. Walk mindfully in the church's grove or any sacred space of nature, breathing regularly, feeling the blessing of air and fire and water and earth and spirit. Find a group of like-hearted people and create your own rituals to guide you toward the generosity, compassion, and love that is evidence of the holy acting in our lives. Finally, in addition to the practices that we can find for ourselves, our greatest, loveliest hope comes from other people. Reflect on the trusted people you love as fallible humans, the people who love you in the same way. Think of how it would be to look oh so carefully at one of them when they didn't know you were looking, like Phil when Rita was sleeping, and see the good that is within them without discounting the other stuff. See how we can be united in our love for each other and our love for the good. We can choose to start each day as the Dalai Lama suggests in the reading that Carrie did, developing ourselves, there's that practice, expanding our hearts for the benefit of all beings, there's practice, there's relationship, and determining to have kind thoughts, not to think badly of others, there's our chance to find blessedness with our fellow creatures. Shall we walk together toward being better people? Shall we determine quietly to journey together in hopes of better honoring the Great One within? Shall we take the lesson of Groundhog Day to heart and move toward putting away our meannesses, toward the generosity for which we all long? Let's.